Let's talk. Not about Bill Cosby. We talked about Bill Cosby yesterday. We actually talked about Bill Cosby and Bill Clinton yesterday. Talked about Bill Cosby because as the show was going on, Bill was being arraigned. Very, very sad. Very, very, very sad to see what's going on. It really is. It's very sad. And I say this again because Bill Clinton really, really did so much worse. And it was all swept under the rug. I mean, it was all swept under the rug. There was no 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, however many times some of these women kept going back to Bill Cosby and supposedly getting raped and drugged. Bill Clinton, it was one and done. It was one and done. Paula Jones, one and done. Catherine Lee, one and done. Juanita Broderick, one and done. These were one and done. This was, oh, hey, how are you doing, Governor? How are you doing, Professor? How are you doing, Attorney General? How are you doing? Oh, you just put my hand on your pee-pee. Okay. This is a no-go. And then everything went from there as far as either being forced to quit, being intimidated. There was no, I'm going to go along with this and see if it stops. Oh, you want me to go to your apartment and just wear pants? Okay. Oh, don't do that. Don't touch me. Month later, oh, you want me to get in a hot tub with you? Okay, we're just friends. I mean, it's silly. Silly. It's silly. And here's Bill Cosby, 80 years old, hobbling into court. Amazing. Amazing. But that's the power of the millennial social media experiment and the millennial website bombardment. I mean, let's face it, all these websites all run by millennials. Sure, they're owned by a bunch of old, rich, white dudes and women. But at the end of the day, they're all run by millennials. If you read the stories and you see who wrote them, they're all millennials. They're all these 24, 25, 26-year-old women that, of course, graduated with degrees in women's studies. Or they're 25, 26-year-old guys that graduated with political science degrees or social awareness. And they're the ones that write these stories. Some of them write multiple stories a day. Some of these people are just the slave workers for some of these sites. I mean, let's face it. They're getting paid crap. Their reward is trying to influence and create change in a social setting. So they're paid nothing. They literally are paid nothing. Some of them still live at home. But they get to write a story about Bill Cosby and no means no. And it gets to go viral and have, 3,000 likes on Facebook. And then they get a paycheck of about $450 for the week. And they've already put in 70 hours worth of work. They're doing something positive. they're doing something positive. That's why I said yesterday, if the millennials actually knew what really happened with Bill Clinton, and they really knew the facts, I think they would be outraged. And if they weren't outraged, they are beyond hypocrites. And they are nothing but fakers, liars, thieves, miscreants. Really. If they know all the facts of Bill Clinton and they just go, oh, but hey, that was then. This is now. We got to get Bill Cosby. These people are the worst of the worst. They're the scum of the scum. But I'm giving the millennials the benefit of the doubt that they don't know the full story. Now, on this great article yesterday. Well, it's not really an article as much as it is a timeline. And the timeline breaks down the Bill Clinton history of attacking women. Now, this writer, this author, this political animal, this political genius named Roger Stone wrote a great, and I mean great, book. It is a phenomenal book. I talk about it at great length, and it's called The War on Women. Clinton's War on Women. And if you go to zerofilter.com, if you go to at Rob Zicari or at Zerofilter, both my Twitters, read review. I reviewed it, so to speak, and detailed what was in the book, and it's fascinating, and it goes in detail, goes in great detail, the Clinton's war on women. Great detail. It talks about all the women that Bill Clinton assaulted, the circumstances around the assaults, Hillary Clinton helping cover the assaults up. At times, Hillary Clinton bullying, intimidating women into silence. It's a great read. And check it out. So that book is real detailed. Now, I just wanted a quick reference. Wanted a quick reference of the women and the circumstances that Bill Clinton has been involved with throughout the years. Because when I'm watching CNN and I'm watching MSNBC and I'm watching CBS and I'm watching the other political shows, even Fox. Yeah, even Fox. And you have rather it's Bill Blasio or Ed Randall or even Charles Krautenhammer, they are questioning Donald Trump's attacks on Hillary Clinton an attack on Bill Clinton over his affairs, his abuses of women. I laugh that, A, the Republican establishment are basically saying, oh, don't go there. Kind of have this gentlemanly pact with the Clintons. That's the one thing we won't do. And you ask yourself, well, are the Republicans serious about winning? If they were serious about winning, they wouldn't have this bizarre gentlemanly pact. And then when you listen to the Democrats, they act as if all the other women don't exist. They were made up. They were figments of people's imagination. And that Donald Trump and people like me are just relitigating Monica Lewinsky. And even that, if millennials and people that don't know the story, but just what the media has told them in 2015, they know the full story, they would be appalled. Krauthammer and the thing that Blasio and Randall and all these other liberal operatives don't get. Is Donald Trump didn't start this. And it's funny because when people say Donald Trump is a bully, when people cry about Donald Trump hitting them and going after them, it reminds me of my history in the business world. And when somebody did something to me and I retaliated, I was always called the bad guy because my retaliation was much worse than what they hit me with to start the war. So the true bully are the people that throw the first stone. They are the cry bullies. They're the people that poke you and prod you, kick you. And when you fight back, when you rise up, when you strike them with a rock, or strike them with a bat, or you hit them so hard you knock their teeth out, run to the police. They immediately run to the press. They immediately run and scream and cry and claim victim. The ultimate cry bullies. And that's what you're seeing with the Democrats. That's what you're seeing with Hillary Clinton. That's what you're seeing with all the operatives that represent Democrats. That's what you're seeing with state-run media. And that's been going on for months and months and months and months and months. State-run media despises Donald Trump so much because Donald Trump hits them back. State-run media, rather it's Anderson Cooper, and there's plenty of videos out there, or Don Lemon, Wolf Blitzer, Chris Cuomo, Jake Tapper, Andrea Mitchell, the list goes on and on and on. And then your low level, I don't like to call them reporters because they're activists. All these people are activists. But your Katie Turs, Casey Hunts, they're all used to going after the candidate or going after the person that the story is on. And when I mean going after, bullying them, berating them, putting them on the spot. And they never get pushback. And I'm not talking about your typical double talk or not answering the question, but they never get put on the spot. They never get told, you're a horrible person. You're a scumbag. You're a liar. And we saw it for the first time with Donald Trump. Just interviewed with Samantha Guthrie. Bill Clinton's affair with Monica Lewinsky alleged. And Donald Trump shut her down and said, it wasn't alleged. That she went, oh, yeah, you're right. So, and he goes, so why would you say alleged? Oh, well, okay, yeah. He admitted it. He admitted it. Donald Trump goes, he admitted it. So why is that? So now the media goes, Donald Trump's a bully. Just like when Jorge Ramos, who's not a reporter, he's an activist. His daughter works for Hillary Clinton's campaign. He's an activist. He's not a reporter. When he was ejected from a Donald Trump press conference because he was screaming at Donald Trump, he cried, he whined, screamed how it was unfair, Donald Trump's a bully. But if you ever watch Jorge Ramos and interviews he conducts, they're ambushes. He's done things in other countries where he literally ambushed politicians, got in their faces, where their bodyguards have punched them. That's a bully. And he met his match, and he got his ass thrown out, and he instantly started to cry. And that's the pattern. All these politicians who attacked Donald Trump, when they got attacked back, but it was harder than their attack, they instantly started to cry. Remember Lindsey Graham? He was the first person to attack Donald Trump. And Donald Trump had a big press conference, gave out Lindsey Graham's cell phone number, talked about how Lindsey Graham begged Donald Trump to get him on Fox and Friends. I mean, just blasted him. And instantly people were appalled. People in the media were appalled. Oh, Donald Trump, how could he have done that? But Lindsey Graham started it. And that's what you're seeing now. Hillary Clinton came at Donald Trump first. A lot of people have came at Donald Trump first. But Hillary Clinton came at Donald Trump first. That last debate, that whole stage did nothing but talk about Donald Trump. Martin O'Malley loves going after Donald Trump. Bernie Sanders loves going after Donald Trump. And Hillary Clinton got into the fray. She got into the fun. But now, she's getting blasted fun anymore. So, of course, state-run media is running to her defense. But when Hillary Clinton and state-run media bring up instances of Donald Trump being mean to women, they seem to forget these instances are all started by women. And I said this months ago. Women can't have it both ways. Listen, I love women. I love women. But they can't have it both ways. You can't be a strong woman, independent woman, a woman that doesn't rely on a guy, a woman that could do anything a guy could do and better, and doesn't want to be judged as a woman, wants to be judged as an individual. Just like those women that got into the elite army unit. Remember the two or three women just recently passed this military training exercise? They are not women. They are soldiers. So women can't want all of those things. But the minute there's an issue, revert back to, well, I'm a woman. You can't talk to me that way. Yeah, you can't talk to her that way. She's a woman. And going on, especially when it pertains to Donald Trump, people are bringing up instances like Rosie O'Donnell. And everybody seems to forget it all started because Rosie O'Donnell was making fun of Donald Trump on The View. Donald Trump didn't just wake up in the morning and go, Rosie O'Donnell's a fat pig. He didn't do that. Rosie O'Donnell started it. When Ariana Huffington was called names by Donald Trump, it was after Ariana Huffington did a piece on her website that trashed Donald Trump. So here we have a situation with Hillary Clinton, where Clinton says Donald Trump is a sexist. Donald Trump doesn't respect women. He's a misogynist. Look what he said about Rosie O'Donnell. Look what he said about Ariana Huffington. Look what he said about the columnist from the New York Times or the New York Post. Look what he said to the female contestant on The Apprentice. Hates women. He doesn't respect women. And that's the line of attack from the libs, from the Democrats, from the lefties. And Hillary Clinton picked that up and started to run with it. So what happened? Donald Trump said, hey, Hillary, I wouldn't go there. Don't accuse me of disrespecting women. Don't accuse me of being a misogynist. Don't accuse me of all the things that your husband did and does, and you not only stand by him, but you use him as your surrogate on your campaign stops, campaign speeches. You use his name and who he is in debates. You are using a man that disrespects women. And state-run media and all the other Democrats can try to pretend all the other women don't exist, and we're talking about just Monica Lewinsky and this one act of infidelity. It happens. But we're not. You can't dismiss all the other women. Bill Clinton doesn't respect women, doesn't respect his wife, who happens to be a woman. He doesn't respect his daughter, who happens to be a woman. He doesn't respect or value women. It is a fact. So when Hillary Clinton starts throwing these Molotov sexism cocktails at Donald Trump, it's completely incompletely throw Bill Clinton in the mix. And for Democrats, from the Blasios to the Randells, the list goes on and on and on. For them kind of brush this off is kind of ludicrous, especially when they try to convince themselves, other people, that this is going to hurt Donald Trump, that this is bad for Donald Trump, and that Bill Clinton is the most beloved figure in the United States. He is, but, or, matter of fact, in the world. So I found this quick list. And it's just a quick list. Okay? Just a quick list. And I kind of just wanted to break it down a little. Just a little. Now, the Bill Clinton history, and again, this reads like Bill Cosby. Remember, we're talking about things that happened with Bill Cosby 30 years ago. Okay? So, Bill Clinton's assaults started when he was 23 years old. 23 years old. What's he, 70 now? This is very Bill Cosby-like. So when the media ignores sex assaults committed by Bill Clinton when he was in his 20s and 30s, and they say, oh, that's old, it's old news, it's been litigated already. But yet, yesterday, there was 24-hour coverage of Bill Cosby walking into the courthouse, walking out of the courthouse. Shows like Don Lemon devoted an entire hour breaking down the Bill Cosby situation, the case and what it means, and is he going to go to jail? He's not going to go to jail. The ambulance chaser, Gloria Allred, was on all the shows. Squawking, yelling, rah, 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 rah. Annoying as hell. A woman by the name of Eileen Wellstone said she was assaulted sexually by a 23-year-old Bill Clinton at a pub near Oxford University. Bill Clinton admitted to the encounter, but claimed it was consensual. No different than Bill Cosby. Again, if you go after Bill Cosby and condemn Bill Cosby and any other sexual predator that is in our society, you have to look at the Bill Clinton history and read all of the situations that he was involved with and say, wow, they eerily sound like that of a Bill Cosby situation and any other sexual predator. So Bill Clinton admitted to the encounter, but said it was consensual. Now, Bill Clinton eventually left the school without ever getting a degree. So Oxford is very prestigious. He gets accused of sexually assaulting a girl. He says, I didn't sexually assault her. It was consensual, but I'm going to get the hell out of Dodge. He leaves. He's gone. So he never, ever said he wasn't involved with the girl. He just said, I didn't assault her. A la Bill Cosby. Remember, Bill Cosby says every single one of the situations he was involved with were all consensual. This new case that they filed criminal charges with, Bill Cosby told the police when it was initially investigated, it was consensual. Yes, he put his fingers in her orifices. Or vagina. I could say vagina. They've been saying on news network. They've been saying it on there. I could say it. But Bill said it was consensual, just like Bill said the sex with the girl out in Oxford was consensual. And then it continued. In 1974, somebody who was attending the University of Arkansas complained to her faculty advisor that Professor Bill Clinton groped her and forced his hand inside her blouse. And Bill Clinton said, well, that's not the way it went down. She was the one who came on to me. She was the one that took my hand and stuck it in her blouse. Now, this happened when Bill Clinton was a professor. Various former students confirmed in confidential interviews, things of that nature, that Professor Bill Clinton would try to force himself on female students. He was very touchy-feely. See the pattern? You see this predator pattern? Then back in 77, when Bill Clinton was the Attorney General, he ramped up. He ramped up sexual assaults. And you had a woman by the name of Wanya Broderick. And Wanya Broderick said that Bill Clinton raped her while she was a volunteer for his campaign for governor. She was a nursing student, and she said that Bill Clinton forced himself on her. Well, she said, please stop. Remember, no means no. And Broderick said she'd not come forward with the claim for 2 decades, saying she was intimidated and ashamed. Imagine that. Kind of sounds like the women of Bill Cosby. Kind of sounds like the women involved with Bill Cosby. And then, of course, Bill Clinton had some consensual relationships, one being Regina Hopper Blakely and Robin. That was in the late 70s. And that was corroborated with Arkansas state troopers who guarded and actually would be the middlemen, kind of run blocker, run defense, make sure people didn't find out. Then in 79, a woman by the name of Carolyn Moffitt, who was the legal secretary, was invited to Bill Clinton's hotel room after a fundraiser. When she got there, she discovered that he was sitting on the couch just wearing a t-shirt. She said when she walked and saw him, he pointed to his member and told her to perform fellatio. She said she didn't even do that for her boyfriend, which in turn Bill Clinton grabbed her, shoved her head into his member, which in turn she pulled away and ran out of the room. As governor, Clinton started a 12-year affair with Jennifer Flowers. Now, we all remember Jennifer Flowers, right? We all remember Jennifer Flowers. Now, Bill Clinton has said, yeah, I had sex with Jennifer Flowers only one time in 1977. Jennifer Flowers comes on and says, I've been having sex with Bill Clinton for years. Bill Clinton comes on and goes, well, I did have sex with her, but it was one time. That's all. That's all. That is it. Just one time. That's all. And And then it goes on to document how a woman by the name of Elizabeth Ward and Sally Perdue in 1982 and 1983 were assaulted. Ward says in 1982 that she was forcibly raped by the governor, but recanted those statements in 1998. Ward announced she did have sex with Bill, but it was consensual. Perdue said she was threatened not to reveal her affair by several Democratic Party staff members. They knew that I went jogging by myself. Guarantee that would that what would happen to my pretty little legs, Perdue said. So, even if you say that the women lied about being raped, if you say they lied about being raped, did they lie about the consensual sex then? It says she recanted the rape part. Because these women, and I've said this before, either lied, which I would think there would be defamation lawsuits. I mean, think about it. Peyton Manning is screaming about defamation lawsuits because somebody's claiming that he took HGH. Sean Penn is suing the creators of the TV show Empire for defamation because in an interview, the guy insinuated that Sean Penn beat his former wives, and if people gave him a pass, why don't they give Terrence Howard a pass? And Sean Penn is suing the Empire creator for tens of millions of dollars. So when you have women going on record saying they were raped, or hell, even having consensual sex, and it never happened, one would think there would be huge defamation lawsuits. But there's not, because these things happen. And in turn, how can you claim that Donald Trump, because how can you claim all these things about Donald Trump when your surrogate, your husband, the person that is going to New Hampshire, going to Iowa, going to all these places and telling the people to vote for my wife? I'm telling you, as this great human, as this honest human, that she would be the best president, maybe the greatest history of this great country. You see how this is a problem for the Clinton campaign? Do you see how the Democrats are trying to spin this as best as they can and discredit all of these situations and only focus on Monica Lewinsky as some situation that was already litigated in the past and it was a consensual affair? I mean, these lists go on and on. In 84, Connie Hannity said she was propositioned by Governor Clinton. Hannity says Clinton told her, "I want you to come to the hotel room." Of course, Clinton denies that and says, "Hannity came on to me, showed me her breasts." You notice all these situations sound just like Bill Cosby. No, 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 I didn't rape her. It was consensual. No, 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 I didn't come on to her. She came on to me. It's like all these situations, women. All these situations have Bill Clinton with women. In a situation where obviously there's nobody around. Very intimate because there's either groping, boob showing. These are things that don't happen at a town hall meeting. These are things that don't happen at a convention. These are things that happen privately. These are things that happen behind closed doors. So when Bill Clinton goes, oh, da, 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 I never told her to come to my hotel room to have sex. She came to me and said, let's have sex. Take a look at these boobs. Well, where the hell were you guys? You obviously around the public. And in turn, if that's the case, why would a married man, a governor, be in a situation with young women behind closed doors? Makes sense. Like I've always said, you got to connect the dots. The dots, evidence, okay. But like we've said on this show countless times before, people get convicted of murder on circumstantial evidence. People get convicted on robberies by circumstantial evidence. Our justice system is based on circumstantial evidence. It happens. Continues and continues. A woman by the name of Dolly Kyle Browning had an affair with Bill Clinton throughout the 70s, all the way until he became president. Of course, we all know Paula Jones. We all know Paula Jones. And again, Jennifer Flowers was admitted, and that was his one indiscretion. When Bill Clinton was on, Steve Croft had said, yeah, you know, no marriage is perfect. I messed up. Me and Hillary have a strong marriage, and it will never happen again. I had sex with that woman once. Okay. But then Paula Jones, which was admitted to. Matter of fact, Bill Clinton sexually harassed her in a hotel room, and she sued and won. She sued and won. I repeat, she sued and won. Close to $1 million. $1 million. Worker. It was the eve of Bill Clinton's run for the presidency. Harassed Paula Jones. They were in a hotel room. He pulled out his penis and demanded oral sex. Paula Jones sued Bill Clinton for sexual harassment and got $850,000 out of it. He then assaulted Sandra Allen James, put her against the wall, stuck his hands up her dress. She screamed so loud the Arkansas State Police knocked on the hotel door and asked if everything was okay. And when he told her Democratic fundraising boss about the incident, he told her to keep her mouth shut. You have a situation in the 92 campaign for president. Airline stewardess Christy Zurcher said that the 46-year-old president fondled her on a plane flight while Hillary slept just a few feet away. Very Bill Cosby-like, guys. Very Bill Cosby-like. If this was going on today, like it is with Bill Cosby, there would be a media uproar. There would be a media firestorm. If any other politician, had this string, of quote unquote allegations, and situations that are fact. So if a politician had allegations and fact, Paul Jones is a fact. Jennifer Flowers was a fact. These are facts. Airplane stewardess, allegation. To any other politician that was running today had all of these allegations and facts come out, they would be run out of this country alone. Run for president or be anybody's surrogate. Imagine a politician with this history campaigning for Ted Cruz. Are you kidding me? Imagine a politician with this history campaigning for Rubio. Is getting flack because he's bad with his money. Think about that. Marco Rubio is getting flack because he's bad with his money. Donald Trump was getting flack because of business deals he did in the 1970s that might have involved gangsters in New York City, who at the time controlled everything. Building in New York City in the 70s, you have to deal with unions. And if you got to deal with unions in New York City in the 70s, you are dealing with the mob. That's a fact. Donald Trump was getting heat for what happened in the 70s. Divorce proceedings that involved first wife. But Donald Trump brings up all of these Bill Clinton allegations and facts, and all of a sudden, he's a bully because the Democrats and Hillary Clinton want to be able to punch, kick, poke, and bludgeon, but the minute you fight back, they run, they cry, they complain. It's the old saying, the big tough guy, thinks he's a gangster, thinks he's a badass, until he gets punched in the face and then he runs to the cops. let me continue so I can finish. After Bill Clinton was elected president, another woman came out and said, Bill Clinton molested me. Bill Clinton violated me. Bill Clinton fondled me. And that woman's name was Kathleen Willey. She said she was groped, she was manhandled, fondled, all of these things while she was in the Oval Office. And then, of course, you have Monica Lewinsky. Remember, Monica Lewinsky was an intern, President of the United States. Regardless if it was consensual, regardless if Monica Lewinsky was fawning over Bill Clinton, just the fact that a boss, and not just any boss, powerful man in the entire world, was having an affair with an employee. And the lowest of low when it comes to employees, an intern, an unpaid intern, worse. And the liberals, the Democrats, all want people to think that, again, it was a executive from an energy company who happened to have business at the White House, got a chance to meet the president, because that's what happens. Someone says, hey, you want to meet the president? He's got a minute. Oh, sure, that'd be great. They met. There was fire in their eyes. There was love in the air. And then they started a romance that blossomed. Nah, that's not what happened. That's absolutely not what happened. What happened by today's standards would have gotten Bill Clinton fired, shamed, and would have been forced to hide somewhere. End of story. End of story. So I found this list entertaining. I'll get this list in a condensed form to go along with this segment. But I needed to bring this up again. And we brought this scenario up before, but I had to do it again. Because listening to these liberal Joy Reid or Melissa Harrell Parrish gotta be the worst host in the entire world. I would rather listen to a host that broadcasts from state-run television in Saudi Arabia. Seriously, I'd rather listen to an ISIS leader. But I would rather listen to one of those ISIS speeches than Melissa or joy. Read. I'd rather be waterboarded. Okay, I would rather be force-fed hummus directly, like we did to the terrorists in the black op camps. I would rather be force-fed hummus rectally than watch Joy Reid and Melissa Perry Harris. I literally, when they're on, I turn the channel. I go, oh my God. Sometimes I fire off a tweet and I go, the world's worst hosts, and just they're unwatchable. They're unlistenable. And then I send it out and then turn the channel. I cannot watch them. And then throw Lauren O'Donnell in the mix. I'd rather do. I would rather be naked with 10 other guys, blindfolded, and be made to create human pyramids like in Abu Ghraib. I would. Those are the three things that I would rather do than listen and watch Lawrence O'Donnell, Joy Reid, and Melissa Parrish. Okay? They say, what do you want to do? I will go, what are the options? Rectally force-fed hummus. Mm-hmm. Okay, what else? Naked human pyramid. Okay. Waterboarding. Oh, okay. You know what? You pick whatever one. Whatever gets you off, I'm good. As long as I don't got to watch or listen to those three people. And if you're going to make me watch and listen to them back-to-back-to-back, three-hour block, I will take any of those things at once. You can waterboard me on top of the naked man pyramid while I'm being rectally force-fed hummus. That's right.